2 Samuel chapter 24. Before I give you the verse I want to read, David has had some problems, King David, doing some things he shouldn't have done, and other people doing it. And people were being judged for sin. And David had to do something. He wanted to make a sacrifice unto God. Now I want you to plant that in your mind. So David is going up to meet a man named Araunah, that he might offer a sacrifice to God so he could be a blessing to the Lord. I want you to remember that. Now I want to make this statement. I want everyone to listen to me by worldwide internet. In 28 years of full-time ministry, I have never had a deficit. That's almost unheard of in the secular world, and it's totally unheard of in the ministry world. Never have I had a deficit, ever. Meaning this, that everything God told me to do, I've done. I've said that several times during my course of ministry, and some ministers got a little angry at me, and I think they have a right to be angry. Because they've struggled and beat their brains out to pay a church note or to buy a church van or whatever, you know. But in 28 years of full-time ministry, I've never had a deficit. Now, when I first started out, I might have got $2 for preaching, but all I needed was a dollar and a half. And I'd have 50 cents to burn. Or I could put 50 cents into the ministry. And a lot of people begin to ask me why. Some people said I was lucky. No, luck belonged to the devil. I live by faith, not by sight. Title of this message this morning is Living Life Without Deficits. Write that down. This is going to be good. Living life without deficits. Deficits are not fun. Deficits means lack, struggle. Out of that comes worry, fear, anxiety, trouble. Deficit spending in the world today causes a lot of trouble in life. So in prayer, the Lord spoke to me. He said, Jesse, do you want to know why you haven't had a deficit? Do you know why? And I said, well, Lord, I live by faith and not by sight. And, you know, I've obeyed you. At least, you know, most of the time. I've made mistakes in my life, to misunderstand me, but not intentionally. I said, Lord, well, I guess it's because of my faith. He said, no. It's not because of your faith. He says, because you adopted the David principle. I said, the David principle? What's the David principle? I never heard of that, the David principle. And David was the only other person to say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Said that on his deathbed. And the David principle is this in 2 Samuel chapter 24. Let's read verse 22. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. And all these things did Araunah as a king give. Look at the word give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. Everyone is looking for an Araunah. Somebody to give you something. See, there's nothing wrong with that. This man said, listen, king, I want to be a blessing to you. You want to offer a sacrifice to your God? Hey, man, here's the meat, here's the oxen, here's the wood, threshing floor. Just offer it, praise God. I give it all to you. And the king said in verse 24, the David principle, no, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, my God, underline this in your Bible, of that which does not cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, and David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Title of my sermon this morning, or today is living life without deficits. I said, Lord, why have I not had deficits? He said, you've never offered me something that didn't cost you something. Now, I don't know about, I'm not being critical of expenses, but anytime I go preach, whether it's overseas or here, I pay all my own expenses. Which, if you invite a guest, and we invite many guests here at Covenant Church that come, we pay for their hotels, am I correct, Pia, their food, their airplane flights and all that kind of stuff, whatever it takes. Plus, we give them a great offering and whatever you give, and then we add to it. And I've had a lot of guys say, well, why don't you just give them what comes in? Well, I will not offer God something or offer you something that doesn't cost me something. That's called sowing and reaping. Do you see that? Now, I've had a lot of ministers say, Brother Jesse, the offering was one. Why would you add to it? Because it must cost me something. Now, I adopted that principle. But most people say, well, I can't do that. I don't have nothing. I started out with nothing. That wasn't the issue. I just made up my mind, bless God. I don't care. Well, what happens if you don't get enough money and you starve? Well, I'll lose some weight. I'll just call it a fast. I'll just call it a fast. Now, I didn't realize I had adopted that principle, the David principle. I would not offer God something that doesn't cost me. We have had, I mean, Joyce Myers, when she came in, she got a wonderful offer. We added to it. Most people would have never, Joe added that. She had a monster. She had a big offer. I said, me and Kathy said, bless God, let's give her some more. Why? Because it's got to cost us something. You see, when you give, then I look at Covenant Church or JDM as another entity to be a blessing even over what you give. Not to show off. People say, oh, he's just doing that show off. I could show off more with that money in my pocket than I could with that money in someone else's pocket. Come on. The David principle. And because I adopted that into my life, I haven't had deficits. I've never had to worry about expenses. When Kathy did her woman's conference, she said, well, Jesse, you know, we got to buy. I said, don't worry about it. Go do what you want to do. Do whatever the Lord tell you to do. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. But I'll tell you one thing. If it all comes in, that's great, but we're going to even add to it. It must cost us something if we're going to live life without deficits. That's the David principle. I will not do something for God which doesn't cost me nothing. Now write this down. If a man's feelings be of God, he will rebuke all thoughts of cheapness. Oh, I lost a few of you right there. Ooh, that's good. If a man's feelings be of God, a person's feelings be of God, he will rebuke all thoughts of cheapness. That which costs nothing is worth nothing. Why do things that cost a lot of money last a lot longer? You know, you go buy a beautiful suit and you pay a bunch of money for it. Lord, gee, you almost got to throw it away. It almost goes out of style. But you go down to that dollar store, a couple of people hug you, that goes your shoulders on your suit. How many of y'all went to Payless and walked out, paid less, but before you got the car, you had to pay more because the things were flapping on you? Is that true? Does that make any sense to anybody? That which costs nothing is worth nothing. Notice when you pay for something good money, you normally take care of it. See? Why? Because it costs something. You normally take care of that. See, if a man's feelings be of God, he will rebuke all thoughts of cheapness. That which costs nothing is worth nothing. See, you are what your motives say you are. See, David's motive wasn't, he wasn't looking for a God just to give him something. Nothing wrong with giving people something. Don't misunderstand. Not a thing wrong with that. But what I'm saying was, he said his motive was, I'm not going to offer God nothing that doesn't cost me something. I just got to be a blessing somewhere. Come on. I got to do something somewhere, somehow. See, that's a giving heart. That's a cheerful giver. That's a voluntary giver. And God loveth. He doesn't like it. He loveth. So I've lived life without deficits. Now, I've made a lot of missions. Man, I've had some of the biggest missions. Jesse, I can't say that. Well, I know that because you're always dealing with a budget. And budgets cost you something. And vision brings you something. I didn't come here to raise an offering. I came here to raise a vision. Once you understand vision, then you can complete your destiny and reach your destination. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want a new house? Let me tell you something. It's got to be built in your spirit before it ever be built on a lot somewhere. You've got to see this thing. You've got to faith it out so it'll come to pass. Yeah, but it's going to cost this. We know things are going to cost things. That's not the issue. You got to give God a job. And if you notice this, if you're barely getting by, maybe that's all you're giving God a job to do is barely get by. Give only what you think you can afford. You ever thought about giving something that you can't afford? I'm not talking about backing your bills up. I'm not talking about, because I believe you ought to pay your bills. Don't misunderstand. But I'm talking about cut yourself a little bit every once in a while. And say, you know what? I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to do something. I ain't never done it before, but I'm going to do it. All of a sudden, it costs you something. And if it costs you something, you can take it to the bank. You're going to get God's attention. Because the Bible said where a man's heart is where his treasure is. So you are what your motives are. Your gifts to God must carry a feeling and express a desire and a purpose. I'm not just what I call a sloppy giver. Everything I give according to purpose. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. I'm a purpose-driven person. In other words, I don't just do something just to do it. And just because I got money to do something doesn't mean I'm going to give it. Because you see, I realize something. Everything must be thought out. Everything must be planned in your mind at least. So your gifts to God must carry a feeling and express a destiny, a desire, and a purpose. So I desire to be a blessing. Jesus said, if you delight yourself therefore in me. See, that's the first part. You have to delight yourself before God. He will give you the desires of your heart. When you delight, desire comes. Now we see when you delight yourself before the Lord, after a while you forget your desire. There's a lot of times I forgot what I was wanting because I wanted to be a delight to God. So I forgot about wanting this particular thing. Lord, I just want to bless. It's just so good. It's just such a blessing. All of a sudden my desire came because I was into delight. And when I got into delight, I got into desire. God gave me desire, which was more than just need. See, so things doesn't cost you something. It's not worth anything to you. You see, I adopted the David principle. And you that are watching today by television that are ministries, that's what you need to do. Nothing wrong with somebody paying for your expenses. If somebody invites you, you know, and they won't pay your hotel, your food, your airplane tickets and all kinds, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not being critical of that. But me, I ain't going to happen to me. Am I telling the truth, Jessica? You might find, I'm telling you, bless God. We put out lots of money that I could actually get back. How many times people have come and they give us bills, they give us this, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I say to myself, Lord Jesus, that's why they struggle so much. They don't realize that everything they must do must cost them something. See, God could have sent Gabriel to die for you, and Gabriel would have done it. And God could have sent Michael the Archangel to die for you, and Michael would have done it. But God gave his best. He gave something that cost him something, his only begotten son. Do you see that? How many of y'all want to live life without deficits? Listen to what I'm saying here. Immediately begin to change your way of thinking. Now, Tommy's here today. Tommy did some work for me. We asked him to change some doors around. They told me that you didn't take any money. Oh, Jesus, Tommy, get ready to get blessed. I don't mind paying you. We ain't broke. You know that. But you see, it costs you something. It costs you some time, some effort. It costs you something. See, God was well pleased with that. I'm not just saying that so you can do some more again, because I don't mind paying anybody. That's not the issue. I think the labor is worthy of his hire. I don't like this cheap preacher stuff. Oh, you know, you want to do it for the church. Or you stinking tight preachers waiting for somebody to pick up that food bill. That's why you're so stinking fat. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. It irritates me. Should we give a tip? Did that lady serve you? Oh, I'm getting hard now. I'm a Lord Jesus. Did that lady serve you? Did that waiter serve you? Yeah. Yeah! You ought to give a better tip than anybody else that walked in there, because the glory of God ought to be on your life. You see my point? I've had preachers tell me, bless God, when you go out to eat, then just keep your hands in your pocket. Somebody pick it up. I said, that's why you struggle. That irritates me. You can tell it aggravates it makes my righteous indignation get vexed. Because it ain't right. Never ask how little you can do, but how much you can do. Sometimes I've given a tip, Kathy goes, excuse me, Jesse. I said, what? You know that's more than 20%. Yeah, I can count. Why? Somebody got to make a living. I would like to be a blessing. I said, and the next time we come in this restaurant, we won't have to wait. And when we walk in, they go, oh, Reverend, come on, glory to God. I say, come on, Kathy. Come on. Kathy counts my tips. She go, one time she took a couple of my tips and put it in her pocket. Don't talk to me, woman. Don't talk to me. I'm better. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. You can do it next Sunday when you preach. Glory to God. Never ask how little you can do, but how much you can do. Now, if somebody want to buy you a meal, don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand me. That's a wonderful thing. If I go out and eat with Pat and Luis and them, we normally fight over the bill. You see, Pat and Luis, and Luis really gets shocked. She go, hold, no, Pat. He say, I'm trying, Mama, I'm trying. Well, you know, that's a wonderful thing. We always want to be a blessing to each other. It's not the issue that we ain't about showing off here. You see, because when you do that, hey, your friendship is worth something. How many times you've had friends, don't lift your hand up, every time you go out and eat, you pay. Hold your hand up. Come on. Come on, hold your hand up. Come on. Look at Pat. Yeah. Isn't that the most aggravating thing in the world? You don't mind paying. That's not the issue. You don't mind paying. But good Lord, it's called being right. See, that's living life without deficits. It makes no difference how blessed I am. Every time I do something for God, it's going to cost me something. I must. Why? I do like living without deficits. I like being able to go to the mall with Kathy and not be sweating. I like being going to a restaurant and eat what I want without worrying about how big. Have you ever seen people say, this is a great restaurant. They start over here and they go. Well, I never forget one time I had a preacher's wife says, can I have lobster? I said, sure. You can have lobster. She, are you sure? Well, how much is the lobster? No, I didn't say that. I said, yeah. You want lobster? Or the lobster. Are you sure? Then I got to think, I wonder how many times they've asked that before. Could I order lobster? No. Gonna make you think a little bit here, you understand? If it's the size of a crawfish, you can order it. Because you buy lobster by the pound. I said, yeah, eat what you want. Oh, but Jesse, that's so expensive. Yeah. 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 You see, I didn't pay for that lobster a long time ago when I blessed the Lord. Man, I could own a lobster factory. You see my point? I don't mean that arrogantly or pridefully. What I'm saying was, I want to be a blessing. Now, you know me, I'm not really a picky eater. I eat, you know, I like cholesterol. But like, a lot of times we might go to Popeye's. And Ricky, I'll be with Ricky. Ricky, hold your hand up so you know what I'm talking about. That's Ricky. And Ricky say, hey, Jesse, you buying all the time. Come on. Ricky will reach out and he got his pocket. Now, when I go to Pastor, get his money out like this. Come on, Jesse, let me buy you. Come on, let me buy you. You always buying something. I said, no, let me be a blessing. No. But, you know, what I don't like is people going, you know, I left my wallet. You've been leaving your wallet for 37 years, boy. Pastor pull his money out. We in the Popeye line with him. We like chicken. No, just let me buy it. I'm going to get it. Or Ricky, you know, when we go out there. I said, no, let's just be a blessing. That's nice. How many of you parents at times, your children said, we're buying? One? Yeah, it's nice when they do that. Yeah, Jody and Ed's done that. Jody took me out for Father's Day one time. She said, Daddy, I said, listen, I'm about to know you ain't buying it. You my daddy, and I'm buying it for you. But see, the anointing of increase is on me. So when we asked for the bill, someone already had purchased it. I said, Jody, you're blessed. This is a double seed. Someone, twice someone seed. See, he said, I will not offer God something that doesn't cost me something. You must ask yourself, what modes or methods are in your power to do in order to honor God? Do you know every time I give to God, it's an act of honor? Honor the Lord. Let me say it again. You must ask yourself, Jesse, what modes or methods are in my power to do in order that I might honor God. I made it, you know, in the first person here. Let me put it in the third person. You must ask yourself what modes or method are in your power to do in order to honor God. You see, when I'm doing something for you because my heart is right, I'm actually honoring God. And so the person that's receiving that blessing is being blessed, and the person that's watching that blessing is being blessed. And God says, that's my kid, that's my child. Look at that. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful when your children share? Is it a little embarrassing when your kids go, my, I'll bite you. I can just take a hunk out of a kid. But what's so nice is when they share. Now, Jody used to get mad at me because I'd always make her share her ice cream. She wanted ice cream. And I was always, you know, the little swirl on the top when you do an ice cream cone? I always, come. She said, Dad, I want the swirl. I went, oh, no, Dad. And Kathy says, don't you eat the top. Well, if I wait to eat the bottom, there will be none left. But sometime when Jody's real little, I take it to the ice cream shop, just me and her. I say, what you thinking, Jody? Oh, Dad. It's amazing what children think if you got enough time to sit there and listen to them. I never forget Jules, he's the head of our television department. He came over, his mom and daddy brought him over, me and Kathy were going to take care of him. Jules must have been, what, 3 years old, 2 years old, three? 3 years old. So he's sitting like this. With his hand at the table. So I'm thinking he's missing his mama or something like that, you know. I said, Jules, what you thinking? Jules says this. I'd rather keep it in my mind. Remember that? I never forgot that in my life. I went, okay. I'd rather keep it in my mind. I still don't know what he was thinking. He probably can't remember that himself. And he's in his 30s, I guess, or 30, whatever it is. But when we do something, we want to do it as an act of honor. You must ask yourself, what modes or methods are in your power to do in order to honor God? To give him the best is necessary fruit for every believer. To give him the best. I try to give God the best. If you look at this place, we have the best in here. That's not to show off. God's house, as long as I'm in it, it's going to be a place of excellence. I don't think twice. If I see something wrong, I forget about the weekends or anything, something wrong with God's thing, I'm going to call Ricky, or I'm going to call Rick or somebody, or David. Why? This is God's house. And we want to honor him. We don't want angels flying around to help people, and they fly by God's house. I say, you think God lived there? Oh, they don't know how God lived. Look at that piece of trash. They could at least cut the grass. The value of a gift greatly depends on the self-denial for which it finds expression. I found that when you give something that costs you something, you deny yourself. Do you know that the root of all sin is selfishness? The root of adultery is not pleasure with another woman or another man. It's selfishness. You could care less but about yourself. Let me say it again. The value of a gift greatly depends on the self-denial for which it finds expression. See, I didn't realize the devil always made me feel when I first started giving that I wasn't giving nothing. Me and Kathy would give our McDonald's money. We'd go maybe sit on a Saturday. And they say, well, it's only $8 or $10 or $12. You ain't giving nothing. But what I was we were denying ourselves of something we enjoyed. And maybe it wasn't a lot of money. That's true. But I was expressing God my love by denying myself. See, I don't let Jesus carry his cross alone. You see what I'm saying? And those little things begin to take place in my life. Not realizing what I was doing, that it was actually more than what I was thinking. That God was saying, look at that. Look at that. They don't have to do that. They waited all week. I never forget, we had a guy, he doesn't come to this church. Years and years ago at Victory, we used to go to Victory Fellowship. Is that the name of that church? And make a long story short, his name was Dean. Y'all remember, anybody remember Dean? Y'all know Dean. If you ever meet Dean, you'll never forget Dean. I never forget, And the pastor and them were believing God. This is when we was in transcontinental Kewanee. This is when the picketers were out there and all that kind of stuff. And they wanted to get another church, which I think went on Napoleon at that time. I may be wrong there. I think that's right. And Dean, he had a 1957 Chevrolet, which I love old cars, you know. I like all kinds of pretty, any kind of old car. I just like them. Not an old trashy one that runs. Classic cars, old classic cars, you know. And I never forget, man, we come walk, the service was over. And we're walking, a guy says, I tell you what, some man, I don't know who he was, he said, man, we're going to go today and buy some food. And we're going over here to buy this money. And Dean turned around to the guy and said, what's the matter with you, man? You know we're trying to build a church here. Give that money to the God. That's how Dean talked. Bless God. Don't you agree, Brother Jesse? And I seen the guy he was saying it to was a lot bigger than both of us, could kill us both. I went, amen. I said it real small. That ain't that guy that wiped me out, you know. And y'all never forgotten that. Because that was right. Dean was denying himself to be a blessing. And whether you liked him or not, ain't got anything to do with that. That was a godly act. I'm not talking about doing it every day of your life. I'm not talking about these people. I'm going to go to a monastery and just never go nowhere, just never have nothing. You know, that's completely unscriptural. Jesus said, go to the world, preach the gospel. Some of that, oh Lord, I better watch. Some of that is only thinking of self at times. Listen, when the world's preached and everybody's saved, go to your monastery. There's nothing wrong with going to a monastery. Don't take that out of context. Don't send me no ugly letter. Because I like Catholic people and I believe in Catholic. I'm christened and confirmed a Catholic. Don't get me wrong. No, nomine Patri, Fili, Spiritu Santo. Hey, I understand. And I think that's a great sacrifice. They say they call it a sacrifice to give themselves to God. But think of that person. Now, this is the way I think. Think of that person who has the willingness to do that. Who? Jesus. Put them on a mission field. If they're willing to spend 50 years in a room, think what they could do outside the room. With that kind of tenacity, with that kind of commitment, my God, they can circle the world preaching the gospel. They'll sleep on a cold stone floor. It ain't no different because they love God. That's a wonderful thing. But my point is, think what could happen with that kind of ability, which you could do with the gospel around the world. So giving, the value of a gift greatly depends on the self-denial for which it finds expression. Now, let me get to this point. Giving must not be trusted to impulse. Write that down. Giving must, how many of y'all want to live a life without a deficit? Now, I'm teaching here. I want to preach this so bad, but I'm going to break this down slow. Teach this so, because I don't want you to be deficit in your life. Giving must not be trusted to impulse, but must be carefully regulated by principles. The key to a person's life is principle. Giving must not be trusted to impulse, but must be carefully regulated by principles. Listen, they got some slick willies that can talk that money out of your pocket and make you give by impulse. And then you go home and you don't get blessed. And you say, you see that giving mess, that prosperity, that the one they just did that for the money. Well, that may be true, but see, you gave by impulse instead of giving by principle. Do you see what I'm saying? So giving must not be trusted to impulse, but must be carefully regulated by principles. Whether you're rich or poor, it ain't got anything to do with it. You see, poor people usually have a more heart to give than rich people. Have you noticed that? So those are the ones that are easily attacked and easily get conned over. Because their heart's right. But I don't care if you don't hardly have anything. Whatever you want to place in someone's hand, whatever. Make sure it's not trusted to impulse, but trusted to principle. God says, give every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly. What's that? Don't be mad about. Nor necessity, even though there's a need. You give because of purpose. That's principle. That's regulation. You've regulated yourself not to trust your impulses or your feelings. You see, when I first started doing this, my mind, preacher, you know, everybody tried to get me away from the David principle. They said, Brother Jesse, don't do that. You'll starve and never make it in the ministry if people don't pay you expenses. Now, nothing wrong with that. I want to emphasize, nothing wrong with somebody paying you expenses. But you see, I wanted to go to a higher level. I wanted to come up hither. I wanted to get to a point that if I needed a boat, God would get me one or I'll start walking on the water. Now, how do I do that? How do I get to that point? I wanted to give more than $5. So I began to believe God by faith to give $100, and then $1,000, then $10,000, and then $100,000, and then $1,000,000. Lord Jesus. Glory to God. But yet, giving $1,000,000 is not, people say, that must have been real hard. It wasn't hard. It wasn't that hard. Why? Because it was the same way as giving $1. Because if that's all I had, that's all I had. The feeling was the same, in a sense, if you want to call it a feeling. So I regulated myself. I wouldn't let the slick willies just get me. And then people who were trying to be nice to me were trying to get me away from the David principle, thinking they're doing me a justice because they saw the kind of car I was driving, the kind of suit I was wearing. Well, boy, you know, let somebody pay you expenses. You might be able to buy a new suit. I'll get a new suit. That'll come. What they actually were doing was asking me, they were asking me to disobey what I knew was right in my heart. I said, no, sir, thank you. I appreciate that. Now, if you want to add to this offering, you can add to it. I said, but I'm not going to put it toward the expenses. Because you see, if I just get my expenses back, God, listen to me, preacher. Let me help you so you won't be in deficit. If you're just trying to raise your budget, ladies and gentlemen, that's your seed. If you get your seed back, you don't have a harvest. Do you understand? If you just get back your seed, there's no harvest. That means 2 months down the road, you're going to be struggling. I never put money toward my expenses when I go preach somewhere. That's my seed into those people's lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because I need a harvest. God liable to tell me to believe for $1,000,000. Well, if I don't have a harvest out there, David, I can't get $1,000,000 because nothing will come back unless there's a seed been sown. But they were trying to do me right. They were trying to bless me because they saw how poor I was. The lining in the coat that I had in those days was all tore. I couldn't do that then. That don't work. Because it was no lining, Ron. It was nothing. You know what I mean? I had one suit. That was it. Black. Thank God it was black. You can wear anything black. Black will go with anything. At my wedding when I married Kathy, we had 22 people on the altar. We all had black. We all had black tuxedos and black shoes except one man, Ricky. He had a black tuxedo and brown shoes. He said, I like my brown shoes. I'm wearing my brown shoes. I said, okay. I didn't care. It made no difference to us. I don't think anybody noticed. You know when I noticed? When I got the pictures. I said, Ricky, wearing brown shoes. But in those days, you had one pair of shoes. You had your dress shoes and your tennis shoes. And if you had them U.S. kids tennis shoes, you was rich. If you had one of them blue stamps, oh, Lord, son, that's something. Giving must not be trusted to impulse, but must be carefully regulated by principles. I live by principle. That's how I live my life. I regulate myself by principle. You know why I haven't committed adultery? Principle. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? And I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I get hit on every once in a while. I'm shocked. And not by an old woman. I'm talking about girls. I could be their daddy because they think I got money. They right. But that's Kathy's money. That ain't your money. That belongs to Kathy. I work for her and my family. Not for me. You see my point. Principle keys. That's what kept Joseph from messing around with Potiphar's wife. I had a preacher one time. God is my witness. Didn't get a shot of this. I'm sitting like this, waiting to receive the pulpit. Remember that, Kathy? Waiting to receive the pulpit. The pastor's over here. They had a beautiful worship team. But there was a husband and wife worship team, and plus, you know, other volunteers. This woman was beautiful, this man's wife. But what I saw the beauty in was their talent. Man, I mean, they were just talented people. So I get up like this. I button my coat. They still singing, everybody's standing. Pastor walks over to me, says, ain't that the prettiest praise and worship leader you've ever seen in your life? And I said, oh, yeah, she's a very beautiful lady. He said, boy, she's worth going to hell over, isn't she? Am I telling the truth, Kathy? I went. And then he said, Brother Jesse, poop is yours. I'm going up there and I can hear that ringing in my head. And now these people here were so kind to this pastor. They were trying to do their best in this church. You know, and this guy is lusting after this man's wife. I wanted to turn around and say, you piece of trash, you. But I didn't. But I did tell those people, I said, do y'all have any inkling to go anywhere else? They said, yeah, Lord's been speaking to me. I said, do it. You don't need to be here. I'll never forget that. That's been how many years, Kathy? 25 years? At least 25 years. I never ever forgot it. I thought, my God, here's a woman worshiping God with her husband, leading people in worship. This fool is thinking about her in a different, total different manner. Not even appreciating the anointing and the gift that's on her life. Do not live at random. Beware of thinking that what you do is insignificant. Everything matters. Everything. Do not live at random. Well, whatever. No. Beware of thinking that what you do is insignificant. Everything matters. I've had so many people. If everybody in my mailing list, everyone's ever come to my meetings, would give. I'm gonna use money because what people connect to. I don't know, a dollar, $2. Oh God, it's amazing. Everyone that watched me on television or internet would send me a dollar. I couldn't live long enough to spend it all. That's how much is out there. Think about that for a minute. But yet, only the obedient ones do. You know who's going to get overflow? Those who have been obedient. Obedience is what brings overflow. There must be a devotedness of spirit and a devotedness of life. I'm devoted to my ministry, I'm devoted to my family, and I'm devoted to my life. I had to stop people from trying to kill me. My own family, not realizing it, was trying to kill me. Well, you know, heart trouble runs in your family. Oh, a lot of heart trouble. Cancer, diabetes. Well, I knew all that, but I refused it. And they all thought I was crazy, but I'm in my 50s today, and I haven't had a heart attack, and all my brothers have. And I'm not bragging on myself, but a lot of times they say, boy, if you don't slow down, I'll tell you what. I said, what are you talking about, man? I'm about the Father's business. You understand what I'm saying? Even doctors say, you know, you're genetic. I'm not genetically linked up with that family. I'm genetically linked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. I got God in my life. The only deficit I've had in my life that I enjoy is I've been without sickness. That's a good deficit. I'm in deficit column on sickness, boy. I'm in deficit. That's a blessing of the Lord. And I could plan to stay there the rest of my life. Well, but Jesse, you got to die. If Jesus said you got to die. Yeah, I got to die, but I ain't got to die choking. I ain't got to die throwing up cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure. I don't have to die that way. You ever thought about doing this? Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. I've had it with Destrehan. I've had it with Metairie. I've had it with New Orleans. I've had it with my family. I'm out of here. I'm going home. Boom, going home to Jesus. That's exactly what the patriarchs did. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know when they died? They didn't die because they were all sick, beat up, busted. Isaac was about the sickest one of them all. But the Bible said when it came time to time, they folded their legs, Lord Jesus, and gave up the ghost. Listen to me. You have that power to live. Death and life's in the power of your tongue. Who are you going to believe? Whose report shall you believe? You want to live long? You want to see your great-grandchildren? Well, bless God, start confessing it today. And then you can go to your great-great-granddaughter's wedding. And you'll be the star of the show. They can't believe you made it. That's what Kathy Grandma, how old that woman is now, 103, 104? Lord Jesus, outliving everybody. But you always hear her praying and singing. Why? She's got a devoted life. Let me say it again. There must be a devotedness of spirit and a devotedness of life. Now, you see, fear is the, When you're devoted, you have no fear. See, people are afraid of what God might tell them what to do. Let me just say that again. People are afraid they will have to give up too much. Never be afraid of the demands of Christianity. They're so scared that God might ask them. And look, a man asked me, he said, well, what would you do? He was mad. What would you do if the Lord told you to give your house away? You own your house? I said, I own my house. What would you do if the Lord told you to give your house away? I'm going to give it away. Do I want to? No, I don't want to give my house away. Why? Work for it. I like the house. That's not the issue. But if you think I'm going to hell of a house, you're living in a dream world. And if I ever give a house away, Lord Jesus, it's going to take 14 blocks to get the house that God's going to give me. Man, they don't tell you what I'll have to build in Destry, and I'll have to build a castle. Good Lord. I'm criticized now about this facility. They call it the Vatican on the Bayou. That's what they call it, the Vatican on the Bayou. Vatican on the Bayou. No, the Lord didn't tell me to get, do I want him to? No, I don't want him to do that. But what are you going to do? Disobey and go to hell? People are afraid they will have to give up too much. Good Lord. Never be afraid of the demands of Christianity. If you're willing to go where God leads, God will see you through your journey. I've said it so many times. I have become a giving addict. I am. I can't help it. I am. I'm a giving addict, and God supports my habit. I can't seem, I'm saying as a friend, because we love Pat and Louisa. I can't seem to get around them. They're always trying to bless us. And I know they work hard. Louisa didn't work hard. Pat worked hard. They like hard work. I'm thinking, Lord Jesus. You know, but then I realize they're addicts. And they always seem to have something to give. And God supports the habit. One time, Kathy forgot to call a hotel so we could eat. Was it Christmas dinner? New Year's dinner? I can't remember now. Christmas? Easter? I can't remember now. Kathy don't cook anymore, you know, that's okay. She can cook good. But yeah, I said, we just go out to a restaurant somewhere or some real nice hotel. So I said, Kathy, did you make that? I forgot. Yes, I forgot. You mean you're going to cook? No, I ain't that crazy. I ain't no doing that. I'm thinking, well, what are we going to do? And Pat and Louise invited us to go eat with them. I was so glad the Lord met my need. I said, glory to God. And the place that I wanted to go to, it was really nice. We had a wonderful time. Praise God. It was just wonderful. That's my point. You see what I'm saying? God, if you're willing to walk somewhere, he's going to walk with you. Let me say it again. If you're willing to go where God leads, God will see you through the journey. I'm going where God leads concerning this this project thing. Now my mind's saying, that's fear tolerated. Faith contaminated. I will not have that in my life. Why? I'm working on something. It's destiny and destination. I will not offer God something that doesn't cost me something. I don't believe David and Betty mind me saying this. The Lord spoke to me. I had a gold watch. Nice watch. Rolex Cellini. That's more expensive than a Rolex President. You in Switzerland know what I'm talking about. The Lord said, give your watch to Pastor David. I said, he got a watch. He said, I don't care what he's got. Give him your watch. Well, the first thing I thought of was, well, Lord, if I give David my watch, what about Betty? You know, most people say, yeah, the Lord told me to give you the watch. Forget the wife. He said, well, buy her one too. Was you there? Oh, because that's exactly what I said, bro. Whoa. Oh. That's the Holy Ghost there right there, brother. Glory to God. Whoa. I said, what? He said, I told you to give your watch to Pastor David. I said, well, Lord, you know, I'm a nice man. You know, what about Betty? He said, buy her one, too. Think of it. You don't have to buy two. You don't have to buy one. Just do what I said. I said, Kathy, get in the car. We drove over to the jewelry store. I said, do you have the matching woman's Rolex Cellini with the diamond bells and everything on it that matches this watch? Oh, yes, sir. I want it. And I invited David and Betty over to our house, sitting at the little breakfast nook. We have a beautiful breakfast nook. There ain't no breakfast on it, but we got a beautiful breakfast nook. Ain't no food on that breakfast nook. It looked good though, son. Kathy walked into our foyer. She told me this just Saturday. This is one fine looking. She said, we got this thing decorated. I said, yeah, but no one ever sees it. We got a beautiful dining room, but we got plates we just look at. Kenneth Copeland came to my house like that one time. He said, boy, Jesse, these are beautiful, beautiful china y'all have here. I said, yeah. He said, y'all eat on it? I said, no. That ain't for eating, that's for looking. He said, we have the same thing. This is before Gloria built a new house. Now she built it, now we get to eat there. I mean, just. So I invited David and Betty over. I said, David, the Lord told me to give you my watch. Now, David's wrist is bigger than my wrist. I said, I got some links here that you can put on. These links cost $200-$400 a link. Just the links. This expensive watch. David put my watch on. He goes, it fits, but just it fits. I said, no, it don't fit. Man, you see blood going to his head, you know. I said, no, David, you ain't got to wear it. No, it fits. Woo, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Woo, Lord. I said, no, David, you got to take it down there, put some links in. Yeah, it fits good. And Betty was so proud, so glad that we had done that. I said, oh, by the way, Betty, here's yours. Betty goes, ooh, hugged me like they broke my shoulders. It was a blessing. I'm not saying that to show off. But what God gave me was, I can't tell you because a lot of you couldn't handle it. I'm telling you, naturally you saw a watch, you get a watch. You couldn't handle it. Some of y'all would just fall off your couch right there. Only one in the world. Only one in the world. It's not this one. I said, Lord. He said, you like that? He said, David and Betty love their watches. Thank you, Jesse. Now that cost me something. That's okay. But the return is beyond the cost. But I wasn't, even though I know God, what you sow is what you reap. I know, but I wasn't thinking, well, what kind of watch you gonna give me? I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking if you're willing to go where God leads, God will see you through the journey. So let me go over this again. If a man's feelings be of God, he will rebuke all thoughts of cheapness. That which costs nothing, it's worth nothing. You are what your motives are. Your gifts to God must carry a feeling and express a desire and a purpose. Must be people of purpose. Never ask how little you can do, but how much you can do. I'm believing God one day to give $100 million in one check. That means I got to get at least a billion. You can laugh at me. Well, you'll see me in Forbes one of these days. I'll be in that Forbes in there. Glory to God. Why not? Wouldn't that be a blessing of God to give $100 million in one check? That's what the Lord said, Jesse, you're always thinking about what you're going to give me. Yeah. He asked me that one time. What would you do if I gave you $1 billion? I said, Jesus. I cut a check for $100 million. That's my tithe. Then I'm going to cut another check for $100 million. That's my offering. I still got $800 million I didn't have before. He said, that's what I love about you. You thinking about what you're going to give me. You didn't ask me for $1 billion. I said, but since we're talking, let's get into the billion flow. Never ask how little you can do, but how much you can do. And watch this. You must ask yourself what modes or methods are in your power to do in order to honor God. See, when I give something to you, or Kathy or to God. I'm honoring God all the time. It's an act of honor. It's trying to be a blessing. To give him the best is necessary fruit for every believer. See, I'm not just trying to get by in Christianity. I want what the Lord said I could have. The value of a gift greatly depends on the self-denial for which it finds expression. That needs to get inside of you. You know when you got it inside of you? Let me just say it real quick. A lady asked me the other day, we were in California. Where's David Deloach? Is he still in there? David, me and David went to this. Did we get blessed, David? Everywhere I go, I get blessed. You fly me all over the world, right? I walk into, I got my money in my hand. You got to pay to go into these health clubs. They don't just, you know, they got insurance things and, you know, plus. I walk in, they go, oh, you Jesse Duplantis. I said, you don't want people to recognize you when you're sweaty, looking at you ugly. Because I don't wear real nice workout clothes. Kathy wants me to, not me. I wear trash. You sweat in them. You stink in them. I don't care. I don't want to look good. And then people leave you alone. I walked in. Oh, what did that lady say? I'm going to bless you today. Now, David just happened to be with me. He got the blessing, too. He got the blessing. The next day, I went back. Got the blessing again. He got the blessing. Am I telling the truth? Now, while I'm there, people said, are you Jesse Duplantis? No. No, I said yes. Oh, this is a blessing. So many. So David has to walk. I'm working out and people trying to, they come up behind you and touch your back. And you're sweaty, you know. But I'm going. And David said, well, I can't let too many people get around him. I don't mean that arrogant, but I'm trying to work out here. Oh, but God had two women, boy. They come walking up to me. Hello. Oh, you are who we think you are. I said, yes, I'm Tom Selleck. How you doing? They laugh, I laugh. Sure enough, they got on the treadmill right next to me. That's the closest treadmills I've ever seen in my life. Huh, David? I'm talking, there's a person right there. And they breathe on you. You go on. Well, come to find out, this lady's sick, needs some help. So I wound up preaching to them, praying for them, believing God. It was an act of honor. We're not bothering you, are we? No. I said, we're all walking, but we ain't going anywhere. See, that's a lot of people in religion. They're running, but they ain't going nowhere. They're on a religious treadmill. See, to give him the best is the necessary fruit of a believer. The value of a gift greatly depends on the self-denial for which is expressed. So I denied myself. And David saw that. I said, I'm going to minister to these people. And I did. And it was a blessing. Here's the other point. Giving must not be trusted to impulse, but must be carefully regulated by principles. That is very important in your life. It's not by impulse. And then this state, I didn't get real strong in this. Do not live at random. Beware of thinking that what you do is insignificant. Everything matters. I've had people apologize for giving me an offering, and they were giving me their best. But see, they didn't think it was enough. $5, $10, dollar. I said, excuse me. I have to interrupt you. This is not insignificant. You're giving this from your heart. And you're doing your best. Remember Sister Chalubik? Oh, God, she's in heaven today. Lady from Poland. I have to say this, and I'm going to close. I went to her house. Ladies and gentlemen, these people didn't have no money for food. The cracks in the wall, I'm not exaggerating, were about the size of this glass case. You could go hunting in the house. But deer walked outside. Boom, you shoot him right through the house. He didn't see you. And she talked like this. What did you see? She was, what, in her 80s? 80, maybe 85. Sister Chalubik. Man, what a wonderful person. And her hand shook like everything. So she come and said, I want to be a blessing to the Lord and to your ministry. She gave me $20. Oh, Jesus. I went, Sister Chalubik. And the Lord said, don't you deny her blessing. I knew they're going to eat dog food the next week. I knew they're not going to have, I know it. It was the hardest thing I ever did. She says, it's not much. It's all she had. It was not insignificant. I've never forgotten it. That branded me. I will take it to heaven with me. It branded me to see the heart of a real giver. Talk about self-denial. Whew, Lord Jesus. I'll never forget as long as I ever live. She didn't live at random. She says, not much. I had to correct. I said, it's the greatest gift I've ever received in my ministry. I told her that. Tears came in her eyes. What made her do it? There must be a devotedness of spirit and a devotedness of life. That's devotion, boy. People are afraid that they will have to give up too much. Never be afraid of the demands of Christianity. That's why even if I get tired traveling, it's all part of it. I'm not afraid of that demand. I don't care what we have to do. I'm willing to meet this challenge. No matter what cost. Wherever that may lead me. Whatever. See my point? Yeah. If you're willing to go where God leads, God will see you through the journey. See, so I knew God called me to travel. I mean, I like being home. And I also like to travel, both. But I've traveled more than I've ever been home. Well, people say, well, nah, it's pretty easy because you got a jet. Still traveling. Still gone. Still, you know. That's why when I go to Hawaii, it takes me 3 or 4 days just to get straight. I'm in a hotel. Kathy has to pull me out the hotel. Come down, get out that room. Why? Because I'm tired. I just sit in the room and turn the television on. I watch CNN 100 times. I'm probably the best headline news boy you ever saw in your life. I could be a journalist. Why? Tired. I'm just tired. And after about 3 or 4 days, I began to get my strength back. And the last time God blessed me so wonderful in Hawaii, it rained every day. It was wonderful. Now, most people were all mad. Not me. I went to bed at 7 o'clock at night, raining. And you can leave you at this place called the Grand Wailea there in Maui. Wailea, Maui. It's in Maui. You can leave your doors open in the rain. You hear the waterfall. I slept to 7 o'clock in the morning, 12 hours. I got up and said, I'm going to do this again. People thought I had a facelift. They said, did you do something to your face? You had any work done? I was that man. Every day it rained, except for the last day, Kathy. The last day. Kathy was like, oh. I said, stay white, Mama, stay white. She wanted to get a tan. Tan's so stupid, because every time you take a bath, it comes off. But you can buy that stuff and put your, rub it all over yourself. I don't know. We'll make it whatever you want. And it was the best time. I needed that rest. And Kathy had to pay the price for it. And I mean, I got up. I felt like a million bucks. I thought, my God, man. I didn't realize how much sleep I needed. I slept for 5 solid days. Finally, when I got fully rested, I said, let's go walking. The sun came out. And went straight to Louis Vuitton. Kathy said, let's go to Louis Vuitton. And wait, she get mad at me when I say that. But she liked Louis Vuitton. And then she didn't buy nothing. And I came out smiling. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Boy, the Lord has blessed me today. This is a miracle of God. We've been to Vuitton, and we didn't make Vuitton richer. But that's okay. It didn't make any difference. Then all of a sudden, I went over to Honolulu. Then it hit me. I said, Kathy, see them shoes? Yeah, let's buy them shoes. Oh, Lord, just them too expensive. I said, no, I like them shoes. I think you would enjoy those shoes. She said, do you want me to have it? Oh, yeah. And we started enjoying each other. I mean, but I was so rested. I'm serious. I must have had at least 10 people tell me, but Jesse, have you had a little work done? What kind of work? Did you have a little facelift? I said, no. You see the cracks right here? When you get sleep, something happens. Something go inside the cracks, kind of push them out a little bit when you sleep. I don't know what happens. I don't know how it works, you know. When you get rested, boy, I mean, you just... I said, no, but I think I need to start sleeping more. I must look really bad. Everybody's missing this stuff. Even my chicken neck raised up a little bit. Kathy slept. She stayed. Kathy can sleep now. Kathy, she stayed with me, boy. But she was so hungry. I mean, we slept so long. She'd be in the bed next to Jesse. I'm hungry. We've been laying there for 12 hours. I was going to buy several bagels and just throw them up in the air. But Kathy, ha, ha, she didn't just eat them up. She said, take me down to breakfast. I took her down to breakfast. Oh, she hit that breakfast like, I'm telling you, she hit that breakfast like a wild person. We slept, we ate, we slept, we ate, we slept, we ate, we slept, we ate, we slept, we ate. It was wonderful. I'm going to Hawaii again. I hope it's raining. Can I say, it ain't raining. Because I can't go lay out there. See, I get burned. She don't get burned. I go out there, man. I'm out there 45 minutes. You're close to the equator. Son, I come looking like a crawfish. A Cajun want to put me in a pot. You understand what I'm saying? I say, Kathy, this is tough out there. She's going, oh, it's so wonderful. Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. I said, you're staying out here too long. I'm going to stay out here and tan myself. I said, I'm telling you, you stay. I said, we're close to the equator. It's going to burn you more. Oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, go on, work out, do what you got to do. I said, I'm telling you, woman, listen, this is the man of God talking to you, woman. Listen to me. Oh, no, we ain't in church. Go on. Man in church. Okay. Okay. 6:30 that night in the hotel room. Oh, oh, Jesse. I said, you want to go eat somewhere? No, I don't want to go nowhere. I'm going to have to sleep in the corner like this. I said, I'm telling you, woman, you're close to the equator. You burn easier here. Go get me some stuff. What do you want me to do? I want you to rub it on me. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Boy, I'm going, it's cold. Okay, wait, let me put it in my hand. Warm it up a little bit. I mean, she broke out with welts. Welts. And they told her some kind of something. I don't know what they call that over there. If you stay too long. Sun poisoning. I said, see, if you'd have stayed with me, get up when I get up. I said, I'm the man of God. Listen to me, woman. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I mean, I can hear the Lord tell a woman to get up. She won't get up, Jesus. I'm going to have to heal her. Well, you're going to have to heal her. But I said, don't go away too far. You're going to have to heal her. I prayed for her. She was hurting, man. And do you know, I think that takes 5, 6, 7 days for it to get out of here. The next day, boom, I think it was gone. She got up. She said, I'm ready to go. And do you know, it wasn't 7 or 8 hours. I could see her. You want to go lay out? Well, you want to cook the other side now? Give yourself a day or two. Rest yourself. Then you go on out there. Stand to your feet, ladies and gentlemen. Kathy's starting to squirm, so I got to quit. Hallelujah, because I'll be on the grill. Hallelujah. Living life without deficits. I went long today. I apologize. But if you'll accept what I said, how many of y'all know, want to have deficits in life? And whatever you do for the Lord, let it cost you something, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. And watch God do a miracle it's amazing. All you that are in retirement, you can live higher than you're living. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. God will honor your young days, your middle-aged days, your old days. He will do it. He will do it.